The scripture reading for the meditation for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and we start reading from verse 7 till 20. Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entered in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master said unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Thus far the readings.
Congregation, the text for this morning hour, which we want to preach from, is from Luke 22, verse 20. Luke 22, verse 20. There we read the word of God in our text. "Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" The New Testament and the cup of the Lord's Supper. The New Testament and the cup of the Lord's Supper. The significance of the New Covenant for Jesus, and the significance of the New Covenant for God's people. So in short, we want to think of the significance of the New Covenant, the New Testament for Jesus, and the significance of the New Covenant or New Testament for God's people. At the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus shared the Passover with the disciples. In the upper room, the Lord Jesus planted a special memory in the hearts of his disciples. He took the bread, boys and girls. He raised the bread. He broke it. And he also raised the cup of thanksgiving. That was not unusual in the meal of the Passover. But then the Lord Jesus added new significance to this Passover ritual. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus took those old symbols of the Passover and filled it with a new meaning. And at the end of the supper, he gave special significance to the cup. And we want to focus on that. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Jesus spoke of the New Testament or the New Covenant. The cup which he took and gave to his disciples had to do with the Testament, with the Covenant, even with the New Testament in his blood. So the cup, Jesus pointed out, was a token, was a seal of that new covenant. What is meant by that covenant? Well, the Lord Jesus is speaking about that covenant, that testament between the Father and himself. We call it the covenant of peace, or the covenant of grace from eternity. The Bible reveals us that there is a covenant, a testament, a special relationship between the Father and the Son. And that covenant between the Father and the Son deals about the salvation of the elect. In that eternal covenant between God the Father and God the Son, the Father promised the Son honor and glory, eternal peace, a kingdom, a people in which his name would be highly exalted, receive a name which would be above all names, and Christ would obtain a bride from among the fallen race of Adam. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Millions, or even innumerable, is the amount of never-dying souls given to Jesus to be saved from eternal destruction. And Satan, God's adversary, would be destroyed, would be defeated. Satan's head would be bruised. And God would be glorified in all his attributes. All those things, congregation, were in that covenant, were in that testament between God the Father and God the Son. God would be glorified, and sinners would be saved. But to reach that goal, the Son of God had to become man, had to become like unto us, except out of sin. He had to become a surety, a substitute for the elect. He had to bear the curse and the wrath of God against sin. He had to give his soul for a ransom. He had to suffer even unto death. And Christ, with all his heart, he accepted all the conditions of the covenant, of the testament. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. And he declared himself willing to do what the Father pleased. And he came into this world. He came equal unto us. And he went all the way from the cradle to the cross. And he gave his blood, his precious blood, for poor and needy sinners. Oh, what a wonder that he was willing to take his part in the covenant. And so the covenant was made between God the Father and God the Son. And now about this covenant, about this agreement between the Father and Christ, Christ representing all those who would believe in him, says Jesus, when he takes the cup after the supper, this cup represents that covenant, that New Testament. He called it a New Testament. And this congregation, in opposition to the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, what do we have to think of when we mention that Old Testament or Old Covenant? Then we have to think of what was established at Mount Sinai. There we see the Old Covenant. At Mount Sinai, there Moses took, according to God's command, the blood of goats. And that blood of the goats, boys and girls, it was sprinkled upon the people. And what did Moses say? Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you. That was the Old Covenant. And now the Lord Jesus Christ gives even a richer significance to that covenant. He gives a new form to that covenant. He says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. The Old Covenant, the Old Testament, was established in the blood of the lambs and the goats and the bullocks and all the Old Testament offerings. But now Jesus says, it will be new. It will be new in my blood, in my offering, in the blood of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That lamb without blemish and without spot. He will fulfill all the conditions. He will make it new in his blood. And this message of the New Testament in Christ's blood had a great consequence for Jesus himself. As he is taking that cup into his hand, and when he expresses this is the New Testament in my blood, then the Lord Jesus himself, he even more, so much more, realizes than the disciples around the table what the consequences are. The New Testament requires his blood. And that requirement of his blood means his death. The New Testament of which Jesus is speaking, it requires the death of the testator. Only when he sheds his blood, the blessings of the covenant will be bestowed upon sinners. The blood of Christ will be the canal through which the blessings of that new covenant, that new testament, are going to flow. Oh, what great consequences for Jesus. This cup, my blood. He knew what it meant. He knew what it required of him. He would have to drink a deep cup of suffering. He had to take away the curse of God's holy law. He had to bear God's wrath against sin. Oh, that was such a reality for the Lord Jesus in that Lord's Supper in that upper room. That cup in his blood. The reality of being forsaken of his Father. The reality of the bitterness of death on the cross. And he accepted that cup. He had a desire to make it new in his blood. So that a poor and a needy people, so that a multitude of sinners would become heirs of the covenant and inherit eternal life. Eternal life. Oh, what a significance for Jesus. But it also has significance for God's people. He showed it his disciples. He said, this cup is the New Testament. He was instructing them. He was teaching them about that New Testament in his blood. That it would be established through his death and through his suffering. It was about the testament, about the covenant. We read about a covenant, about an agreement between God and man for the first time, congregation, in Genesis 2. There we read of what we call the covenant of works, being God's merciful agreement with his creature. The Creator made a covenant, made an agreement with his creature, with man. God's goodness, God's condescending goodness to make a covenant with man. And you know, in that covenant of works, God promised eternal life to man. With one, only one, simple but clear condition. God asked obedience. And man would obey him and love him wholeheartedly. God would establish that happy state of eternal life. That was the covenant. That was the agreement in the beginning between God and man. And the way was outlined, you know. In that covenant, the way was outlined, which would lead to obtaining the promise. But Adam broke the covenant. He ate of the forbidden tree. Listened to the devil. Rebelled against God. Tried to be as God, his own Lord and Master. The covenant was broken. And the result was that penalty for disobedience. It descended upon man. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And God drove man out of the Garden of Eden, out of his communion. Man was banished from God's presence. And angels, cherubim, with flaming swords, kept the way to the tree of life. The covenant was broken. But at closing paradise, the wonder was revealed. At the doorsteps of closing paradise, mercy was provided. God revealed that better covenant, that covenant of pure and sovereign grace, a covenant in which sinners would be saved through the satisfaction of that promised Son, that promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of Israel, they lived under the administration of that covenant. And they had the signs and the tokens of that covenant. And Moses said unto them at the Mount Sinai, with this blood, the covenant is for you. And now the Lord Jesus is taking the cup and says, I'm going to make this covenant new. I'm going to make it new in my blood. He was speaking of the blessings of that covenant of grace. He was speaking of that new way of life. The only way by which sinners can be restored into God's favor. Because there is no other way. And also under the administration of the Old Testament, it was the message that there only is a way of salvation through the sacrifice of that promised Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Lord Jesus says, this is the significance of the cup. I have come. I will make it new. I will fulfill all the conditions of the covenant in my blood. It's the gospel message, congregation, about salvation in the New Testament covenant through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that New Testament shows us that grace way over and against that works way. That grace way is opened and that works way is broken. But fallen man always seeks to be restored via that broken way of the covenant of works. When quickened out of being dead in trespasses and sins, a sinner being born under the covenant of works flees directly again to that covenant of works, flees for his duties, for his performances. Oh, then we try to patch up a righteousness of our own. And we try. Maybe you can recognize it from your own heart and from your own life. Then we try to work ourselves into the favor of the Lord. And also in a week of preparation, so often we again try to work on our own side. To patch it up between God and us. To reform ourselves. To do good. To change our life. To perform our love and our sincerity before God and before man. Oh, what a lesson. What a lesson that a covenant is broken, congregation. Did you ever learn that lesson? That a covenant of works is broken. That works way is broken. That we by no means can come any closer to God. That all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And that we have to do with a holy and a righteous God. And that God by no means can leave the guilty unguilty. That there is such a breach between God and us. That the Holy Spirit showed you what lives within. That the Holy Spirit enlightened you to know yourself. And that there is not only besetting sin, but that there is that evil within. Oh, that soul disease. That suffering of that fall soul disease. That we are defiled with our sins and iniquities. that it becomes a reality that on man's side, that on my side, the covenant is broken, that works way is broken. Oh, then it becomes cut off. No way back to the communion with God. And you had to confess it's beyond hope. I'm under the law, under the curse of the law, under the sentence of death. It's my own fault. I sinned it all away. Oh, what a wonder. When that New Testament in the blood of Christ is revealed unto us. A way in which it is possible to be reconciled unto God. That grace way. That way of the New Testament in the blood of Christ. That's the gospel message. So rich. So full of comfort. A bleeding Christ. A suffering Jesus. And in His blood, the atonement. His fulfilled work, the bridge between God and us. And all that we need is to be found in Him. This cup of the New Testament in my blood. It shows that grace way opened in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord Jesus added something with such great significance, which is shed for you. My blood, that grace way opened in my blood. The blessings of that New Testament for you. Because I shed my blood for you. So precious. So very personal. For you. Who had to experience that that works way is broken. For you who had to cry in the midst of your misery. It's beyond hope. For you who had to confess that it's a lost case on your side. For you, for such a people who repent of their sins and iniquities, who stand afar off like the publican. Oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. My blood shed it for you, who had to cry, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Oh, there is a voice in the blood of Christ. His blood speaketh to the soul. The Master is come and calleth for thee. That calling in Christ and in His blood. Oh, do you know, sinner? The voice, that calling voice in the blood of Christ, shed it for you. Now that new way is opened, that grace way is opened in the New Testament of His blood. And that blood of Christ says, come unto me and you shall be saved. But how do I come? How do I then come to Christ? How do I then come in that grace way? Well, coming in that grace way, in that New Testament way of the blood of Christ, is also the faith way. Coming empty-handed. Coming with your hunger and with your thirst, with your poverty, with your expectation, relying upon Him and the gospel promises which are yea and amen in His blood, coming just as you are, as guilty as you are, in that grace way, in that faith way, relying upon His blood. Oh, to behold Christ Jesus as the fullness of our expectation. Then he's our light in our darkness. Then He's our resurrection in our misery and death. Then He is our robe of righteousness for our nakedness. Then He is the bread to satisfy the hungry. And then He is the water to quench the thirst. Jesus took the cup and He showed it to His disciples. And He shows it this morning in our midst. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And all what a helpless soul can need is to be found in the New Testament of Jesus' blood. Here is the pardon, full and free. Here is the Lord of life, and He spreaded the table with his own flesh and with His own blood. Here pardoned rebels hold communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that our hearts may find liberty to rejoice in Him. Worthy is the Lamb, because of the New Testament in His blood. Nothing but sin I thee can give. Nothing but love shall I receive. My blood shed for you. Amen.